Hello, welcome to Killer Crawl Space. This is episode 18. And as I promised, I'm recording on the new mic, so bear with me. This episode is going to be about James Darren Mathis. I stumbled upon his case when I was researching Diane Best, because, you know, it's another local Huntington case, and his name was brought up, so I decided to research a little bit on it. And turned out he was missing in Huntington, and, you know, I kind of put it to the side, and then I was like, I'll research more on it. But this is what the research I came up with, and he, so far, is still missing to this day. But he was in his late 30s. But he was last seen by his wife on December 12th, about 9 p.m. in Huntington, West Virginia, at their home. And this would have been 5 years ago, so 2013. But she said they were headed to bed. She would wake up at 1:30 a.m. the next morning to find him gone. She had figured he had went to the store because he had been having trouble sleeping. But she would find out, that he left his wallet and his cell phone at home once she started searching the house for him. So where did he go? So basically, in this period of time, she searched the house and, you know, looked around and then found out that roughly an hour later, the police would show up at the residence asking if he was home because they had found his car abandoned on 31st Street Bridge. His wife would tell them that when she had woken up, he was gone. From my understanding, the police felt due to where his car was at that he had taken his own life, so I'm assuming, you know, he just jumped in the river. But they could not find him anywhere near the car, and the keys were missing as well. His family doesn't believe it because they said he was very happy and no way he could be capable of doing it. One thing I found out while researching about James is another man from Huntington went missing as well. That man was Paul Martin. He would disappear on the 10th of December. There seemed to be speculation that the missing men were linked, but police would comment eventually on it that they were not connected at all. Paul's car was found in a parking lot near Washington Avenue abandoned. Sadly, Paul's body would be found by a towboat operator almost a week later by 17th Street Bridge. But there's something on the bridge that they saw him on, but a gun was found next to his body, so police believe he had committed suicide. Where does that leave James? As of right now, nobody knows what happened to him. It doesn't seem the police have been actively searching for him since the beginning. James's wife had stated she knows as much as she did the night James disappeared because the local police haven't said anything since. But there are reasons the police probably haven't worried about it. Number one, a lot of people that are adults, the police treat them as adults so they can just come and go as they please. It's sad, but it happens a lot in, you know, a lot of areas. Like, I guess in a way it could be understandable, but yeah. And they probably, you know, number two, they probably still believe that he took his own life. And you'd think even if he had taken his own life, they'd want to at least give closure to the family and still, you know, find the body. But it'll most likely come back down to somebody like me or you stumbling upon, you know, some remains, which, you know, if he is dead, it'd be most likely bones. Another thing, too, is if somebody actually came forward claiming that they had done something to him, you know, foul play was involved, then they might be actually able to search for him, but who knows. So far, you know, like I said, nothing seems to point to foul play. So I can see why, you know, the cops are not assuming that, you know, because there's no evidence for it. You know, they just said his car is abandoned, but, you know, it seems like he just jumped in the river. But the family has spent a lot of hours searching for James since then, but no luck as well. They still don't suspect him of taking his own life. His wife felt that if he would have, or that they were so close, he would have left her a note. And there was no talk of mental illnesses reported with him. And everybody, like I said, seemed to know him, that he was a very happy person. And he was just an easygoing guy. So everybody's confused by having no contact with nobody. Like, he just vanished. And it makes me wonder, though, since he left his wallet at home, where was he going? You know, it sounds like leaving your identification and everything, it's like you're going to, well, I guess you could just say the end. You know, you're going to a place you're not going to return from. And he left his phone. Now, a lot of people don't leave their phones behind at all. So, you're kind of wondering if he just didn't want to be called. Because he figured that, you know, one reason she could have woke up, seen him gone, start calling. And he just didn't want to be disturbed. So it kind of maybe does point to he took his own life. And that's why he didn't want nobody, you know, calling to, you know, basically get him not to. But all he'd have to do is, you know, just not answer or just turn the ringer off or something. Another thing that sticks out to me is where he had been having trouble sleeping. My personal opinion makes me wonder if something was bothering him and whatever was bothering him finally won the fight. And he just couldn't take it anymore. It kind of does seem to point to that, because, like, a lot of people, you know, if you, well, it's pretty much anybody, if you don't sleep and you have trouble sleeping, it probably boils down to, you know, something bothering you. You know, maybe, you know, I'm close to my wife, so I could see where his wife's getting at. You know, because I tell my wife pretty much everything. I mean, her talk about everything. You know, like, we share pretty much our whole lives together. So I would be, like, surprised if she done something like that. Because I can always tell when something's bothering her, just like she can tell something's bothering me. But maybe he was just a good person and hit it all. It's hard to tell, but, like I said, I didn't personally know the guy. But before I end this episode, this will be a short one since, like I said, it's a missing persons case and there's not a lot of information on it. Like I said, he was 38 when he went missing. So, like I said, 5 years ago, so I'd put him 43 now, roughly. Unless, I think he already had, well, in December, he should have already had his birthday by then. So, yeah, he would be going on 43. He was around 5'11" with a thin build. And he was last seen in pajama pants, white shirt, and possibly a blue jacket. Well, he was seen in the white shirt and pajama pants, but they assume he's in a blue jacket as well because it was missing from the closet. So she assumed that he put on it. Which, another thing that kind of makes me wonder that too, is if he had a jacket on, like if he's just going to go, you know, jump off a bridge, why take that? Who knows? But if you have any information, like I said, you can contact my page, and I'll get the information where it needs to go. But best thing to do is contact local police department in Huntington, West Virginia at 304-696-4470. But I thank you for tuning in. If you want, you can, like I said, rate me on iTunes. If you want to support the podcast, I'm on Patreon. You can also visit the Facebook page, Killer Crawl Space. You can now join the group. And like I said, I thank you for listening, and I'll see you on episode 19.